Oh, my God. The Patriots pulled it out at the end, 35-31. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Who cares?
Yeah. I was watching it up until I came up here. Okay. Interesting. I know. I just it just came over the phone.
Oh my God.
What was that?
Emery's screaming. Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barney, and Michael, the Frostbitten Youper. Tonight, brrr, it's cold outside. Michael slides his new stove right into place. And Goldfinger becomes a stud muffin. All that and more on Late Night Killer! And now, digitally gathering to watch Michael give his iPhone a bath. Here's Joe, Barry, Buddy, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM Show number 167. From the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the family truckster heading north on US 41, I am Michael, the virtual Uber.
Did you say the family truckster?
Yes.
All right.
I love that tune.
Each car has a drop-in now.
Yes, it does.
Chris, Joel.
Really? Including the Prii?
Did you say my beloved Prius?
Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And everything that I do is out of loving you.
Luker! Blucher. Oh, he got it.
He got it.
Oh, you've been busy, Barry.
Yeah, I had a little bit of time on my hand. Well, not really, but I made time. Anyway, wait a minute. Barney just iMessaged us. Let me see what he said. Hello? Hello? We're here. And you showed up, but we didn't hear you. Here we go. Send him an iMessage. Thank God we have 15 different ways to communicate here.
Yeah.
Of which none of them really
the
work.
Crappy Farpoint or Fairpoint connection.
Foul point.
Foul point?
Yeah, foul point. Fouls all communications up.
Well, at least it's consistent.
Wasn't Farpoint a sci-fi series?
Yes, Farpoint. No. Was it
Farscape?
Farscape. Farscape.
Farscape, yeah, yes. Okay.
Now, we'll call this Foul Point from now on. They're not very fair.
Far out.
Far out. Way out. Okay.
I think there's Barney.
Did he pop on again?
No, that was my alarm saying that he just replied back.
Oh, he.
No, I'm saying he just iMessaged back.
Oh. Okay.
He says, hello. No, where's his other one? He says, I'm around, but I can't seem to get to you.
No, that's. Oh.
Yeah. Because yours was, we're here, and you showed up, but we didn't. Here, H-E-R-E, wrong one, here, you. And
No. Oh.
That's the short version.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, we didn't hear you. Yes.
He just replied back, I'm around, but I can't seem to get to you.
Try again.
Try turning it off and
turning it back on again.
Have you tried turning it off and then turning it back on again? Question mark. Maybe I'll send him another invite. I don't know whether that'll work. But we'll try.
He should just be able to go in the Hangouts. And
I know. And just hit the camera, right?
Yeah, or even just the phone.
Keto, enter the phone. No? Nothing? Okay, I'll shut up.
What? What?
What?
No, I was.
I got it.
I was re-inviting him.
I got it, Inspector Clouseau.
Keto, answer the phone.
Oh. Oh God. Okay. Well. Anyway, probably like most of the country around here, we experienced cold. It was cold here. When was it? Friday morning? Thursday morning? I forget which day it was. Probably both mornings. Thursday morning, I think, was the real cold one. It was minus 12 when I got up. Of course, that's nothing compared to what Michael's been experiencing.
Yes. Fifth rate of hell cold.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it hasn't really gotten as far as standing temperature. Much worse than, you know, minus 10, minus 12. But the wind chill, you know, the dreaded ambiguous wind chill, wasn't all that ambiguous this week, you know, 40, 50 mile an hour winds. It was, it goes beyond wind chill. It goes into the damn cold category.
Yeah. And it was weird because at one point, as a matter of fact, I posted this. I snapshotted and posted it, but it said it was minus 9 in Jaffrey, but it the feels like was minus 8. And I'm like,
yeah,
wait a minute, if it feels warmer than it actually is, then aren't you supposedly in serious trouble? Because, you know, when you're near death of frostbite, don't you suddenly feel like you're very hot?
And yes,
people start shedding their clothes. So I was thinking, maybe that weathercaster ought to get inside.
Yeah, that's one of the final signs of hypothermia. That's not good.
Yeah.
Final stages.
So, but it's been cold, and so lots of indoors, lots of dry, peeling, cracking skin. I hate this time of year. I really do.
Yep.
Well, I needed to get up Brockway on Wednesday.
Did you say Brockway?
No.
Brockway? Oh.
Yes, I said Brockway.
Oh, come on, you missed the key.
No, that's because iMessage was up.
That's good. Oh, you could have skipped it. I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't.
Okay, that's enough. Go ahead.
Anyhow, yeah, it was, you know, at ground level, I was waiting for it to get up to minus 30 on the wind chill before I headed up, because God knows what it would have been at the top. You know, by the afternoon, it was right around minus 25, minus 30, something like that, you know.
Wow.
But the last trip, because it finally got to the point where they said, well, we need to go back up again. I said, you know, if this was an EMS rescue, I'd do it. I said, but there's a point where I won't go into a life safety situation at that level for the internet. You know, it can wait a few hours.
Yes, really.
And even then, after it quote-unquote warmed up, this last trip was so severe. For the first time since I've lived up here, or even come up, you know, casually, I did not take my snowmobile helmet off when I got to the top, nor did I even dream of lifting the visor. That I was actually worried about getting frostbite with the helmet on, with the visor on, with the extra headgear on underneath.
Wow.
It was that intense up there. And I hate working with a helmet on.
Yeah.
even if it's cold out, I'll take the helmet off because it's just in the way. I can't see what I'm doing. You know, I'm banging into things, yeah. But not Wednesday.
I believe it. Jeez. I think you should wear a spacesuit up there.
Yeah, that would be a little more bulky, though.
But you'd stay warm. You'd have air conditioning inside the suit, you know, or air environmental control of the suit.
The kids kept getting days off. So some cities more than others. Mm. And at one point, I think in the show notes I mentioned, we reached the -40 is -40 point, and that's where -40 Fahrenheit is -40 Celsius. It's where they meet up.
Right.
So we reached that point. I think that was Tuesday. Was it Monday or Tuesday night? I know I mentioned it in the podcast that shall not be named.
Yes, I forget. It was probably, you got it earlier, so it was probably Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's just been like, you know, surface of the moon type weird, or Mars, or Hoth. Yeah, the sand, the windy snows of Hoth. There we go. Especially last night. I mean, most of the day yesterday was probably 20-foot visibility. It was just incredible. Not as bad as that one blizzard last winter where, you know, I couldn't see the side of the road when I was stopped next to the side of the road. But it was pretty close to that most of the day yesterday. Mm. And, of course, that was the day I offered to fill in for night shift as a medic. So I just had all kinds of fun last
night. do you have many calls?
It can go either way in something like that where either people are smart enough to stay indoors. Mm-hmm. So I was expecting a really bad night, and then it wasn't much of anything until about 3 in the morning, and then all heck broke loose.
Wow.
We were busy from 3 on, 3 in the morning on, and then I wound up working overtime because once you're on a call, you don't say, oh, wait a minute, it's time for Phil to take over. Hang on.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Phil, take this, grab this IV line. I'm out of here. Mm. No, so you finish up what you're doing, and that can take a while.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
And then it's just continued all day. The guys I said take it, you know, like the Smothers Brothers. You know, your turn. They've been busy all day.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of snowmobilers up there yet?
Plenty of snowmobilers, but
probably not
today. It's either been medical or skiing incidents.
Oh, okay. Cross country.
Tomorrow will be the downhill.
Downhill, okay. I was going to say, where's the closest downhill for you guys? I know there's got to be something up there.
There's two major downhill ski hills. One's Mount Bohemia, which is about 15 miles from Copper Harbor, and then I keep hearing all these beeps and boops in the background.
Well, that one, the last one was my phone.
Oh, okay.
Party. The ding was my phone with getting Barty's message, too.
Yeah. And then there's Mount Ripley, which is down by Michigan Tech, and that's where Mark snowboards. So that's where we were this evening. Mark was snowboarding.
Wow. Okay. Barty just said he just turned it back on.
After turning it off again?
I'm assuming so.
No, I think it's the problem. Some people get that backwards, and they turn it on and turn it back off again.
There you go.
Yeah,
that'll fix it right up.
Yeah. And then they put in a trouble report. Does not work in the OFF mode.
Damn it. Why not?
What?
So do you have like a Nextel message tone there, Joel, that tell you have an iMessage?
Yes, I do.
That's kind of cool.
I actually carried a Nextel as part of... Unlike many who might be in the podcasting community who wear, you know, $3,000 suits to work every day and have letters before and after their name or whatever, I actually have my name on my shirt. actually, on my ESD smock. And part of that having your name on your smock is you also get handed a Nextel, which I carried one for about 12 years as part of my job because you're always on call. And I got so used to listening to those tones that it's that's what perks up the old ears, you know, to pay attention. And so now Nextel defunct. That was a couple of different companies ago, and I found these tones for the iPhone.
Cool.
So when I texting, I get a Nextel alert. Mm-hmm. And my ringer is an Nextel ringer. And people say, actually, you know, one of the additional people who said the same thing. Dude, that's pretty friggin' cool. Who would have thought old ringers would have been cool?
Yeah, it is.
It is. It is.
I carried a Nextel phone until they were acquired by the Sprint Borg, as mm-hmm. they call them, and never to be heard from again.
Yep. Yeah. It's so. I mean, that's the ringer, and you know, it's
push to talk tone there. Yep.
That was the alert whenever you tried to get a hold of somebody or a group.
Mm. Yeah.
It's nice because they really cut through everything.
They cut right through everything. You never mix them up with a radio sound or, you know, something on the TV. They
were pretty right indestructible through. Phones, too.
Oh, my
the
God.
The contractor version. Indestructible. Yeah.
I actually miss my old Nextel.
Hmm.
For the fact that it was so damn... If they could make an iPhone that was as tough... As my Nextel, and I tell you what, I put it through hell and back, and it just would not die.
Well, mine impressed me this week, but we'll get to that one later.
Yeah.
Before we get too far off the tones, though, my brother-in-law had his messaging, his SMS messaging tone. I heard that thing the first time, and I'm like, oh, I gotta get it, and I found a copy of it and cut and pasted it on my Nokia phone that I had at the time, but for messaging, he used the Kim Possible communications tone.
Yep.
So every time he got a message, doot, 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 like, oh, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's
parent that has kids that watch that show, you know, you're going to recognize it. Or even make-believe parents that watch the show, you're still going to recognize the tone.
You mean, wait a minute, you mean the text message sound that I have for you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, that's it.
That actually is yours. Okay. Because you told me that once before, so I signed it to you.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to repeat myself there.
No, I just thought it was cool. So when you told me how much you liked it, I'm like, all right, that's Michael's.
Yep.
Oh, crazy. I just had standard cell phones before my iPhone.
Yeah, same here, but you can still manipulate the hell out of the ringers and ringtones.
Yeah. I just used whatever the default was. I was lazy. Actually, I don't mess with the ones on the iPhone that much either. I did change the ringtone because I didn't like the new ringtone. So I chose one of the alternative ringtones.
Well, the last time I was working over in Moscow, mm-hmm. I still had that Nextel. Not Nextel, the Nokia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure why I had it over there. There was a system I was able to use over there, but I'd been able to get in there and basically root that phone so I could put all my own stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And my ringtone was the theme from Dr. No.
Ah!
Boy, did I get some looks over in Moscow when that thing went off.
Now you got me growing. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them in my iPhone.
I was gonna say Joel's playing with his ringers now. So yeah. Well, my week was we had like three software deliveries, and on top of that, of course, right before I went back to work, I get an email with a ton of performance reviews. I got a list of those that I had to write up this week. So, needless to say, there's a couple of days that I got home and my day hadn't ended. And on Thursday, because they were due by close of business Friday, on Thursday I was up until 2 a.m. here at home. Luckily, I can do the performance reviews at home. I prefer to do it at home because I was getting interrupted every 10 minutes when I tried to do it at work. And I finally got the last one done. And I already told my boss on Thursday before I left, I said, I'm probably going to be up late doing this, and I'm not going to be in work on time on Friday. I said, you can forget that. So I rolled in about 10:30, I think, to work, which is, you know, probably about a half hour after I usually get there. And I got everything done, so I'm happy. I am done with reviews for Well, until the half year time comes, mid year reviews come in. Then it's start again.
And I don't miss that part of the job at all, Barry.
Because they expect you to get, you know, they give you a deadline, say here, and they don't care what you're doing in your real job, you know. And they just keep sending out reminders and reminders and reminders to get them done. And it's like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? Please the customer or please you?
Right.
So anyway, oh, Barty is back. Barty is gone. Oh, God.
Well, we need to send him a message to tell him to fix that iPad TARDIS of his.
Yeah. He comes up. We see his picture. But I don't know what... he must be having bad juju with the internet, too.
Yeah. We need to have a TARDIS sound for him when he arrives and when he disappears again.
Yeah.
There's Barty. There goes, Barty.
For some reason, the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour podcast got off one of my lists, and I noticed, you know, my podcast kept piling up, and they didn't get down past a few episodes, and I went and was looking through, and I said, oh my God, you know, how'd that, so I added it back on, and of course, when I added it into one of the lists, now I've got, like, a ton from July on of Marshall McLuhan Variety Hours and the summer fill-in show that I've been catching up on. But they're all one after the other because there's nothing older than that one right now. And I listen to them in order. So I've been having fun catching up on the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour. So,
oh, cool.
And I remember one of the ones I listened to this week. We were members of the Dancers. And
yes.
Where we kept fading in and out.
yes, indeed.
That was classic. I loved it. You know, they don't really, you know, they complain about Skype. Obviously, they use Skype. And they complain about it. But boy, I'll tell you, they don't have the issues we have. Maybe Rogers Skype. Isn't a bad thing.
We haven't used Skype in so long, though. They may have fixed it.
Yeah.
No, not if you listen to Leo.
Okay. I was listening to New Hampshire After Hours podcast, and the last one, and they were using Skype, and boy, was it was rough.
Was it real rough.
Yeah.
I think, well, for me, anyway, I know it's Foulpoint that's doing it, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it is. I'm not getting the bandwidth I'm supposed to be getting, so.
And they're not going to fix it anytime soon.
No, they're still on strike.
Right. So you got what you got, and just consider yourself lucky.
Yep. Although, I'm seriously thinking now, at least for the podcast, of switching over to LTE and just using my phone as a hotspot, because AT&T this week announced that they are also doing rollover data.
Oh, cool.
So any data that you don't use, it rolls over to the next month. Now, it only rolls over once, I think, is what theirs is. But still, I mean, I have a 10 gig plan, and I don't come anywhere close to using 10 gig during the month. I'm usually around 2-3 gig at most when I'm home, normal use. If, you know, we used a little more when we came out to visit you, Michael. I think I used almost six gig going out there, but I still had 4 gig left. So, you know, if this keeps up, I may try to use the phone as a hotspot and see what I can do.
Oh, I'm on LTE right now.
Yeah, you're crystal clear.
So yeah, we as a family pretty consistently use about 6 gig a month now. But you know, the boys are using it to and from school, and we've got this 2-hour round trip commute every time we go to town.
Yeah.
So it's constantly getting used.
Right, and the only thing I do is I use Barty just emailed me. Let me see what Barty has to say. Yes, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
How do I find the hangout? Oh, God.
On the Late Night QRM page. Google Plus.
You can actually just go hit the Hangout button.
Yes.
On Google Plus. Okay. Talk amongst yourselves while I explain the...
Welcome to Late Night QRM Customer Support. My name is Barry. How may I help you?
Yeah. Well, you've got a couple important stories here, Michael. You've got Kersplash and the new stove.
Yeah, we'll go into Kersplash while you go into customer support mode here. So, yeah, it was... what was that now? Was that Wednesday morning? Yeah, because the boys were home. Yeah, so yeah, Wednesday morning, while the world was at -0 degrees Kelvin outside, I decided it was a good morning to catch up on cleaning up the kitchen and chores around the house and such. And so I got my my iPhone tucked into the waistband behind me because I had a t-shirt on, but I didn't have a shirt on as I was cleaning. So I didn't want it to get wet.
Right.
Some irony here. So anyhow, so I've got the iPhone on. I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm working away, and I clean all the kitchens in the... clean all the dishes in the kitchen. Showboat, showboat, showboat. Okay.
There you go.
and I'm working away, and let's just say I get to some point where I lean over, and... the earbuds get ripped out of my ears, and I hear this kersplash. Mm-hmm. And I turn around to see the iPhone kind of, how a coin kind of goes back and forth as it drops through water to the bottom.
Right.
As I watch the iPhone drop to the bottom of the basin, and I go, ah! I reach in, grab the phone as fast as I can, hit the power button and hold it, and pray that the swipe to turn off, icon comes up on the screen, which it did.
Right.
I disconnect the earbuds, I put the speakers down, and I give it a couple of good shakes, and then I've got it in a Belkin rubber bumper, baby bumper case, which has got no really coverings or anything. It's not waterproof in any way, shape, or form. It's shockproof, which has saved it from some other ugly incidents.
Right.
Pull the phone out right away. I dry it off with a towel, and fortunately the furnace is going, and I go immediately over to the furnace, and I hold it as close to it as I can stand for 3 cycles, to the point where the phone is so hot I can barely touch it.
Right.
And in between each cycle, again, I am taking the phone, speaker down, and just putting a lot of centrifugal force on it, going woof, 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 trying to, if anything got into it, try to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get the phone to the point where I can barely hold it. And then I remember, oh, my God, this is the new Verizon iPhone. It's got a SIM card slot.
Mm-hmm.
So I pop the SIM card out, and it's dry as a bone. I was expecting water pouring out of the side of the phone at this point.
Right.
So I put the SIM card back in it. I wrap it up in a thin paper towel, throw it in a Ziploc bag full of rice, zip that up, throw that back in front of the furnace again. And then I think, okay, I've done what I can do. I've got AppleCare on this phone, so best case scenario, I'll find a Genius Bar guy that'll go, oh, okay, you've been honest with us, you poor guy, we'll replace your phone. Worst case scenario, with AppleCare, it's a $200 replacement, which is still a whole lot better than $900, which is what that particular phone would have been outright. So I kept it in the Ziploc bag and went back to my appointed duties for the morning for a couple of hours, just really sweating it out, but hoping the fact that it was -0 degree Kelvin out, that the dryness in the air was going to be in my favor.
No, that's true.
Well, it gets to around lunchtime, I think, and I finally decide, well, I got to find out. I've gone online, I looked at the survival rate of phones, iPhones that have been completely submerged, which is not very good, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, we're going to give it a shot. I pull the phone out of the rice and Ziploc bag, and I press the power button, and lo and behold, it came up, and I sent you guys some iMessages.
Yep.
I withheld turning on the cell phone side of it. I kept the cell part powered down until I had to go to Brockway later that day. And it's a cell phone call.
Oh, no.
You're sidelining.
Hang on. I'm going into the, now you're the shadow up. Of the moon. I'm not in the dark side yet.
You cleared up.
Yep.
Yeah, but there's about a mile here where it's switching between the old towers and the new towers.
Mm. Okay.
Am I seeing? Oh, I'm seeing reflection. So a little bit short of it, it's been since day now, and
you're sidelining.
Yeah.
We'll patiently wait. It always happens when he's in the middle of a good story.
Yeah, it usually does, and it's almost like, okay, well, you need to just assume it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You're sounding good, though. You're coming in fine.
Excellent. Well, I have the same ISP you do, but for whatever reason, it hasn't really faltered too much on my end.
Well, it depends where you are.
Oh, there he is. You made it.
Hey, there he is.
My God. This is one of the hardest times connecting ever.
I know. You showed up twice. That's what I was telling you. You showed up twice, really? But we didn't
hear
you.
That's so funny. Because I never showed up on my end as connecting at all. Yeah. It kept saying, cannot find remote host. And I was like, well, I'm not looking for a remote host. You know, I'm trying to join a conversation. Mm. You know, but you know, I kept trying and trying, and I was like, I was getting really frustrated. You know, like feeling the way the Patriots were in the first quarter.
you just knocked Michael off.
Well, somebody had to go.
No, Michael's on the dark side of the moon right now. So
I'd rather have Michael on than me because he's much more interesting.
He'll be he'll be back. He's on the dark side of the moon.
The guy really does have a pretty fascinating life. I love listening to it, to his daily life and adventures. It's like, really?
Yeah. I got in my car and went to work today.
Yeah. He had a whole ton of things that he was had done before noon. Yeah. You know, and it's like, yeah, okay. All I did was went to work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, damn.
And then the bartender said, that'll be 2 squid.
You throw it on the ice in Detroit.
Oh, did you miss the rest of the joke? I must have dropped out.
Yeah. Whoops, what's this say? Oh. Huh? You shared a photo, Joel?
Oh, the late night QRM page.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't share photos. It's dark in here.
Well, suddenly my phone.
After I got my scolding from Barry last week, you got to start checking the late night QRM page and get those the announcements when people post on it turned back on here, buddy boy. And I'm like, because I had all the announcements from so all the guys, all the fellow podcasters posting on it, and I had the alerts turned off. So I never knew when there was anything new on there.
Oh, jeez. Jeez, that's what alerts are for.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you just posted, but...
It'll be there in a minute. It takes a while for photos to upload.
Yeah. But I'll give you a hint. Cue your gold finger piece.
Oh, okay. We've got everything ready to go.
Excellent.
Yes. As long as no more iMessages pop up and take control of my... Uh-oh, we lost Michael again. Michael, he's on the dark side of the moon again.
And now you're starting a Cylon.
Who, me?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I can't help it. Foul point strikes again.
I don't know, Barty. I think he just told me to go F myself.
Well, you know, I that would be something you would hear from my mouth, but that wasn't what I said at the last moment.
It sounded like it came from Barry. It's like I heard, well, and I'm like, what did I do to you?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, foul point.
Put that middle finger down.
But not well.
Restless middle finger syndrome.
the cameras are turned off.
Oh,
it's because I got shit for bandwidth.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Barty, lately. So
Michael was into his show note. What was it? That was Chris Splash.
He was doing.
Well, yes. Do you want to, until he comes back from the dark side of the moon, you want to give the Podcasters Anonymous segment a whirl?
Sure. Here's Podcasters Anonymous.
Gather round ye lads and lasses, set ye for a while, and hearken to me mournful tale about the Emerald Isle. Let's all raise our glasses high to friends and family gone, and lift our voices in another Irish drinking song. Consumption took me mother and me father got the pox. Me brother drank the whiskey till he wound up in a box. Me other brother in the troubles met with his demise. Me sister has forever closed her smiling Irish eyes.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
All right, the new drop-in for Podcasters Anonymous. That's the long version.
Yes.
I stumbled across that on YouTube.
Yeah. Is that the Charlie song?
That's the that's the Podcasters Anonymous song. So, my drink that I'm going over today, which we've talked about before, is a Red Stag, Jim Beam's Red Stag Black Cherry on the rocks straight. The problem with this stuff...
Bourbon, sorry.
Oops.
I forgot to mention
there
that.
There goes Michael.
The problem with this stuff is it's so sweet and so nice that drinking it straight, you can get there quick because you drink it like soda pop.
Yeah.
It's kind of like soju.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, oh, I better take it easy here, you know? I could down this all in one shot.
You ever been to Korea?
I have, but I haven't had that.
Really?
No.
That was like a basic staple there because it was cheap.
I had just Korean beer, which was horrible.
Yeah, pretty horrible. Well, soju was pretty horrible too, but it would mess you up faster than the beer would. And you know, it was just as unregulated as the beer was, so you never knew what you were getting from day to day.
Wow.
Oh, so it's just like a surprise in every bottle.
Yeah. Some days one bottle will wipe you out, other days it might take three. And we're talking, you know, like liter bottles, because, you know, they didn't sell them in six packs. It was supposed to have been, you know, synonymous with wine, but it would be an insult to wine to call this stuff wine. It was some kind of just weird Korean alcohol.
It's probably the runoff from kimchi.
Yeah, probably.
That stuff was wicked. And then if you saw dogs tied up outside of a Korean house, it probably wasn't a pet. It's probably dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, in Korea, the land of not quite right, and the land also known as the land of a thousand smells.
I'm sorry, but that is so true.
It is. Well, you know, you'd only understand that if you had actually been there.
I really struck a chord here, Bart.
You know, it's one of those kind of places that you go to once and you never want to go back to again.
I'm sure that was 30 years ago when I was there, and I'm sure it's changed, especially their economy is really...
I would beg to differ.
Oh, you've been there recently?
Hell no. I avoid that place like the plague, you know.
Well, you know, some of the better cars come out of Korea now.
Yeah, that doesn't mean shit. talked to people that have gone there recently, and nothing has changed. Sure, a lot of the big businesses are making big dollars now where they weren't, but as far as the rank and file workers down in the slums, where you know the average GI tends to go, that the same shit is still going on.
Yeah. Oh God, you know, yeah, I gotta say, even in Japan, especially if you went through the small towns and stuff, there was a unique air about Japanese small towns, especially out in the country. But that was because they had the open benjo ditches,
exactly,
and you know, along the sides of the roads, which were basically their sewer system, and in town. They went down the sides of the street still, pretty much where the sidewalks were. But what they did was, is they had covers. The benjo ditches were cement, and then they had these covers, but they had holes every... They were like blocks that they put on them.
Yeah.
And there was
and
holes,
the
of course.
And all would just kind of like use hoses to rinse everything down into the ditch.
So there was always that benjo ditch smell in Japan. But not nearly as bad as Korea, but I...
No, Korea, you step off the plane in Korea, and all of a sudden you're like, there's like a million stenches hitting your nose. You're like, what the hell is this?
I just remember if the flu or something was going through Misawa, you could tell by just walking downtown.
Oh, man.
But yes,
memories.
Really.
Memories.
Oh, that was too much.
Oldie, oldie memories.
Yeah, you had me crying and laughing on that one. Jeez. But so anyway, one of the things I have to mention about the Red Stag, I have not seen the cinnamon and black cherry Red Stag.
No, because it never existed.
Well, what was the cinnamon stuff called?
Cinnamon stuff. Yeah, exactly. It was Red Stag cinnamon.
I thought it had cherry in it too.
No, it did not.
Oh, because wasn't it called seasoned or something?
Spiced.
Red. Yeah. I thought there was cherry.
It didn't have the cherry flavor. I think that was just the bourbon with cinnamon infused. Okay. Now, regular Red Stag is black cherry infused.
Right. That's what I've got here. And then they also have a honey version.
Yeah, which I haven't tried yet because I like honey in my tea, but I don't know if I'm wanting my bourbon.
I was thinking about getting maybe a small bottle of it to give it a try, just to see. But I didn't find the spiced Red Stag.
No, the spiced, I think it discontinued.
Ah, too bad. That was really yummy.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, the black cherry's good though.
That was making me well on my way to being a full blown drunk.
Well, I guess that wasn't a total disaster for you then. I mean, you're probably saved from being a full-blown drunk because they quit making it.
Probably.
So, you know, that was a plus.
Because they're not making the other one you liked.
Ezra Brooks.
Ezra Brooks isn't making it. I guess people don't like cinnamon. I don't know.
Yeah, they're retarded.
Either that or somebody... Somebody is actually going around behind your back and paying these people to quit making the stuff that will make you drink.
Yeah, that could be.
There's a conspiracy theory against keeping you drunk.
Here it is, Red Stag Spice. They're still making it.
But they're not selling it here.
Don't sell it anywhere near Joel.
Yeah.
I will drive.
And then the bartender said, "That'll be 2 squid, please." Get it that time. Okay, I'm back in the land of LTE.
That's going to be a drop in, you know.
Yeah, really.
It really should be.
Huh? Yeah, I amplify that a bit and throw a little bit of reverb in there, and that'll be perfect.
I'll isolate that one. So
we're just coming through Delaware now.
Really?
So this
that's a long way to go.
Delaware?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, a little tiny state near New Jersey.
What do you, you take a wormhole?
Drive in the family truckster.
Okay. It's a wormhole.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Jeez.
Well, what? Hell, stop up at Barry's house on the way by.
It's a podcaster gate.
There you go.
Yeah. So we were still waiting for the end of a cursed splash.
So, well, I'm talking on the phone that was completely submerged for about 5 seconds. So apparently I got to it fast enough.
Wow.
But as we were talking afterwards, I think that this is the next life of the Dr. iPhone. It has regenerated, but thankfully kept the same companion and has not left me behind yet.
Ah, okay. Did it change shape or form maybe into an iPhone 6, 6 Plus?
it's an iPhone 5S Plus. I don't know. I'm still going through the redecorated inside to see what's changed.
They added a pool.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Well, then, last night...
Oops.
Did we lose you, Michael?
Last night,
and, I show it to.
Yeah,
and
then the bartender.
I show the phone.
That'll be two squid.
What am I? Am I silent now?
Yeah, no, you dropped out completely.
No, I hear you guys fine.
Okay.
But anyhow, so I'm last night when I show up at shift for my paramedic shift, I was telling another medic about what happened, and I put the phone in my pocket. And then I look at the shirt and goes, oh, geez, this shirt is, it's too wrinkled. I need to wash this. And I grab my spare clean uniform shirt out of my locker, go back into one of the bedrooms, and I change. Mm-hmm. And, I throw my uniform in the washing machine, turn it on. And I'm working around the office, and I went, Jesse, do you know where my phone is? Last time I saw you put it in your shirt pocket before you threw your shirt in the washing machine. And I went again, ah! I literally went running into the locker room, turned off the washing machine, which has been in the wash cycle for about 7 minutes now, dragged my drenched shirt out of the washing machine with my new clean uniform on, and I'm squeegeeing down the shirt, thinking that I'm going to find this rectangular lump in the pocket, and I don't feel it in there, and I'm reaching inside all the suds, and I don't find the phone in there, and then I spent the next 15 minutes looking for it, and as much as can you hear me now is an important thing down in that part of the world, we don't have Verizon coverage inside the EMS station.
Uh-huh.
So he tried calling the phone, and immediately went to voicemail, and he goes, yep. Phone's not answering, must be dead. And I'm like, no! I just saved it from the certain the jaws of death, only to have it, snatched right into the jaws of defeat or something like that. I'm not getting that right. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It did turn up to be in a pile of other dirty laundry. It had slipped out. I had remembered it to pull out of that shirt because the uniform, the pockets have got very tight Velcro closers on.
Mm-hmm.
So I had pulled it out, but apparently it slipped off while I was changing uniforms and fallen into another pile. Because I normally go to the station in street clothes.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of a sudden I thought, after all this time, I just dumped it right back in again. Where is this person turned?
Uh-oh, Michael.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, hello?
Okay, you're there.
Am I silencing again?
You were a little bit.
No.
We're switching towers again.
Okay.
Cross-circuiting to channel B.
Okay. So you got a new stove.
Yes. Yeah. Finally, after over a year, we now have a new stove for range. And the issue is we've got a little bit of snow here. go figure.
Yeah.
Just a little.
But there is no way that the delivery truck was getting down our driveway. Matter of fact, I can't imagine them coming down in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, I've got to say.
Have to take the alternative route to our house. And I was trying to think about what to do, and Chris left the family truckster behind so we could put it in the bed, and I could drive it back there that way.
Mm-hmm.
Except that I was home by myself, and I thought, once we put this thing in the truck, I'm not going to be able to maneuver it out safely. So I thought about it for a second. I said, well, let's see here. I got 1,000 feet of woods to negotiate. What am I going to do? Oh, yeah. And I grabbed.
Hello?
It never fails.
never fails.
It was just getting to the good.
I know. It always happens.
I was just getting ready to light the fuse, and then.
Michael fades out.
Wow. All it takes is for you to start saying the story. Right?
Yes.
So where did I fade out?
Right at
1,000.
So oh, I snow. Yeah, exactly. There's a bunch of snow at 1,000 feet. And then I remembered, if I go get the...
the two squid. I remember the kids' toboggans, and I go on and get two of the kids' toboggans, and I grab a 4x4 sheet of half-inch thick plywood laid across the top of them. Am I still here?
Yes, you're here.
Okay, just making sure every time I get into it.
The picture that you sent was a redneck special, I tell you.
Yeah, you know, and again, to go off down another fork off the main trail here, did you look at the plus ones we got from the late night QRM group there on that stove picture I put up?
No.
Because, you know, there were the usual suspects, our late night QRM listeners, and Martin JJ.
Who?
Barry should recognize Martin JJ.
I should?
Yeah, Barry.
Yeah, Martin JJ is the one that does most of the cover art for the No Agenda podcast.
Really?
Are you serious?
No, yeah. Well, I don't know them by name.
But again, you know, those posts we're putting in that group there are getting out public.
Oh, they are. Cool. Okay, here's the thing. I checked into it. Okay? And if you remember, when we started this up, it was either going to be private or it's public. Okay? And we went private at first, but that meant that anybody who wanted to join had to ask for permission to join, and we'd have to give permission. And we decided, no, let it go public, and I gave you guys all administrative privileges so that if anybody looked at it and started commenting with comments we didn't particularly care for, not that good or bad or whatever, but just, you know, the kind of comments you don't want to see, everybody has a liberty to police the hangout. So that's the way it is. It's a public hangout, but you guys are all administrators, so we can knock out anybody we want. Now
knock out the assholes.
Yeah, our other podcast or our other hangout is strictly for the late night QRM presenters.
Right. That's the back channel. Yeah, yes, that's the back channel.
That's the back channel just for us, so we can, you know, trade stories, or especially for future stuff for shows and stuff, which, you know, the thing's been sitting there with crickets going lately, because we've all been using the late night QRM channel or community. So, but no, this is exactly, you know, so it is public to everybody. So,
just to
let you know.
So, yeah, so I load the stove, you know, the delivery truck shows up, they're wondering, you know, what we're going to do, and then they look with relief at this toboggan I've got set up, and I said, well, there's no way I'm expecting you guys to drive the truck back to the house. So they go to grab the stove, and the first thing I notice is that it's not in the box. I said, oh, so it's not boxed, huh? And they said, well, we had to convert it for propane. I thought, yeah, that's right. And they're on a schedule, so, you know, they carefully get it out, they set it down on my little skid there, and they take off, and I start to look at it, and here's the part that wasn't in the podcast that shall not be named. I look at the stove, and I look at it closer, and I went, oh, crap. And I start taking some pictures of it. If you look closely at those photos, if you expand them, two squid, am I still there?
Yep.
Okay. The door is not plumb with the top of the stove. Matter of fact, the door was like a half inch out of kilter.
I see that.
As you look at it,
yeah,
was up hard against the range top, and the left side was down. And then I looked down where the right hinge of the oven is, and there's a big dent in the side of the range.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Crap. It showed up damaged.
So I took a whole bunch of pictures of it before I moved it anywhere so I can, you know, prove. I still pull the thing on my toboggan up to the house. I figure, well, I might as well check the whole thing out now. Mm-hmm. Carry it up the steps into the kitchen by myself.
Ooh.
Fun.
Carefully, but got it up in there. Noticed a couple other things. I pulled the bottom drawer out to inspect it, and it was really hard to get out because whatever it hit it hard enough that the plastic runners on the metal drawer got knocked right off the drawer. They were still inside the frame of the oven, fortunately. So I check everything else out. Everything looks okay. Hook it up to the gas. Everything starts up fine. I don't smell any gas. Everything seems to be tight, except that you really have to wrench the oven door shut so that it would shut and open. And then I proceed to call the appliance store and say, hey, this thing shows up damaged. And the secretary who answers the phone goes, what? I said, well, my stove was delivered today, and it showed up damaged. She said, who'd you buy it from? I said, you. She goes, no, what's the salesman's name? And I said, well, I don't know. I didn't, grab the salesman's business card for future reference in case I need to call him directly. I said, it was delivered today. It's on your delivery schedule. You have one truck. I shouldn't be that hard to find. And I give her my name. She goes, well, you're not in the record. So I'm like,
what?
The secretary has some people skill issues as far as I'm concerned, because I was really, I wasn't upset when I called. I was just like, hey, something's wrong and I want to note it right away.
Mm-hmm.
She pissed me off.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the sales guy had much better people skills, which he should if he's a sales guy, and apologized profusely, thanked me for calling right away, and I said, hey, look, there's a dent in the sheet metal. I think I can take care of that, but I want to report this right away, see if we can get the door so it opens and closes properly, because we've been without an oven for over a year. I just assume have this work and make it work. He's like, I'll connect you to service right away. And he had a service guy look up the manual, call me, told me exactly which screws to loosen, how to reset the hinges, and the hinges actually just popped out of place. They weren't damaged.
Oh, okay.
Once I reset everything. So it's in the kitchen. It's installed. Everything's fine, except there is a dent in the right-hand side of it, which you can only see if you look at it close because it's the range that goes inside the counters.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time I do service on it, I'll pull it out and straighten it out. But yeah, it was a long ordeal for finally, after a year plus, having an oven again.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I did is I ran down to the Gaslight General Store and I got a frozen pizza. Craving for frozen pizza for a long time.
But that's still a lot of crap to go through on a brand new appliance that you just got.
If I was in the city and they were a 5-minute call away, I would have said, come pick it up, get me another one.
And don't you think
that? I'm sorry?
I said, don't you think that they don't know that?
Oh, yeah, but it's also, as much area as there is up here, it's also a small community. Mm. So if they piss somebody off, it does come back to bite them.
Yeah.
In a big way, I would imagine.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of people that aren't going to buy from them.
Right. So, no, I feel they've done right by me. I've documented everything. Everything's back and fixed except for the dent in the sheet metal, and I'll get that taken care of too. But it was more important to me to have a functional oven back in the kitchen again.
Yeah, really.
They were heading down the hill into the harbor, so I'm probably going to drop out again sometime.
Okay.
Just to give you a heads up. So I won't get into any other long stories until I'm in place.
Okay. Well, Joel just came back.
Michael,
dropped
before
out.
You go.
Yeah.
I do have one question that I've been curious about. What is the difference between a conventional oven and a convection oven? Because you were saying on the podcast that shall not be named that you were really regretting the fact that you had to replace a convection oven with a conventional one.
Right. A convection oven actually has a convection fan in the back of it that recirculates the air. And the air in a convection oven, no matter where you put item to be cooked or multiple items to be cooked, the hot air circulates around everything evenly. So everything cooks evenly and cooks much faster, by the way. So when you look at cooking instructions on the back of frozen food and stuff, you'll see instructions for a convection oven and one for a standard oven. And you'll notice that the temperatures a lot of times are lower and the cooking speed is much higher.
Yeah.
And convection ovens are really nice for pizza, by the way, because you get that hot air flowing over the pizza. It crisps, gives you a much crisper crust.
I know my wife wants to get one.
I've never really noticed a lot of cooking instructions for convection ovens. It's usually like microwaves and conventional ovens.
Yeah, it's just you got to be careful. You got to learn on
kind of literally.
Oops. I'm sorry, you were Cyloning, but my wife wants to get one of those because it does cook a little faster, but it cooks more evenly, I believe, is because, you know, the flow of the hot. And speaking of that, a couple of podcasts ago I told you we put up a new fan in the family room that has reverse, and it got its workout this past week with the low temperatures because we heat the family room with a propane gas stove, which looks like a fireplace, one of those, you know, fake logs in it. And on cold days, like it got this past week, cold evenings, usually I couldn't keep up. I mean, the thing would be on all the time, and it would still get a little chilly in that room. Well, I got to tell you that with the fan on in reverse, the stove was cycling on and off all week, and
it was what?
The stove was cycling off, on and off, and not staying on constantly, and the room stayed a pleasant 70 degrees, which I had it set at. So the fan with the cathedral ceiling really is making a difference because it's helping to, you know, circulate the hot air around the room so it doesn't all just go up and hang out in the top of the cathedral ceiling.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was well worth it.
Well, actually, it's rather warm.
Yeah. So, and Joel's back. You dropped out for a bit.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, you're fine. I'm assuming there were some swim lessons involved.
I beach balled.
You beach balled? Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I beach balled.
Yeah.
I had way too many windows open going on here.
Maxed out your RAM.
Pretty much, yeah. It was probably the 11 or 14 windows I had open, all of them simultaneously doing something.
And speaking of that, yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at my Mac Mini yet. I have a feeling I'm going to have to reload the operating system on it. But meanwhile, I've been doing some research on there's some software out there, free software called FreeNAS, which is allows you to take an old PC and get 3 or 4 hard drives and put them into the system, and then you run FreeNAS on the system, and it basically makes a NAS for you, a network accessible storage unit for your
nice.
And it's gets great reviews. The FreeNAS software is free. Mm-hmm. And it gets great reviews, and I think we talked about it a little bit last week because you actually install that on a flash drive or a thumb drive, and you plug it into the USB port, and then you boot off of that, and then all the drives are it uses ZFS, and it creates a RAID, a 5.0 RAID or level five RAID. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
With journaling. So I'm really interested in building one of these things. And unfortunately, the computer that I wanted to use, which I have an old one here, sitting here from 2004 era. Right. Unfortunately, they said you should have at least a Core 2 processor.
And probably a 2005 era.
Six, actually, is what they were saying.
Okay.
And
I would just thought your luck would be like 1 year off.
Yeah, well, I'm close, very close. And it has to be a 64-bit processor, which I looked up the one I have here, and it's a 32-bit processor. And you got to have 4 gig will do, but 8 gig of RAM is better. So, because I also want to use it as to put all my movies and stuff on, and then it's got a Plex module you can add to it, so it can act like a Plex server. And so I have started a new project. I am in search of an old computer, and when I say old, the 2006 and above era, with those things, I'm looking. I you know, I can go on eBay or one of those things, and I could probably pick one up there. I get a little nervous with computers doing that, you know, because I would rather go to a shop that sells old stuff so you can actually see it. But I have not found any shops around here that sells old computer systems.
So would you like me to point you in the direction of three?
Yeah, if you know where they are, because I did an internet search, and I have not been too successful in finding any, so...
Okay, well, gotinkforyou.com has a store right on Amherst Street next to RJ Cycle. I go there all the time for ink cartridges.
Really? And they sell used equipment?
Used Macs. Used Macs, used Windows, used okay. PCs, everything.
Cool. Okay, exactly what I'm looking for. Because I need to, that's what I need to get. The most expensive part of creating this storage unit is actually the hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want them large enough to, you know, be able to store something on it. But you get, I'm going to go for four drives, which will, you know, I was thinking about 4 2-gig or 4 3-gig drives, which will actually give me 6 gigs of storage, because basically half of it is used for mirroring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. I know it sounds like a waste, but if one of your drives goes bad, you can pop it out, pop a new one in, and you haven't lost anything.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's where I want to get, because I want to get this so I feel secure about, you know, backing up all my stuff on it. So that's the I will check that out, and I will get with you later, Joel, after the show to get all that information. Because I will definitely check that out. I saw some things online, and it's like, wow, I could get like an old Lenovo. It seems like it'll do the job for like $40. You know? And I said, that's perfect. No operating system, no hard drives. And that's fine. I don't need operating system, and I don't need hard drives. I just need a processor. Uh-huh. You know, the right processor, and be able to upgrade to the right amount of RAM. So stay tuned. I'll be talking about that as the project moves on. And it will move on. I've been really researching the hell out of it this week. Unfortunately, like I said, I could get stuff on eBay if I chose to. I even stopped in at the Goodwill shop, because they actually sell stuff online, but they don't have it in the stores.
Okay.
And they actually check their stuff out. So they actually have a group that checks it out. So everything they sell supposedly works.
At least boots up.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see. Like I said, I feel better if I could actually go see the stuff, you know, in person, and get warm.
Check
fuzzies.
The notes. So on the chat.
I see it. It's funny. It popped up as a in a dialogue window above your name.
Yeah, popped it in the dialogue.
Okay, I will definitely check that out. Thank you.
So I can't log into the show notes, so I can't read any of them this week.
Which
is kind of weird, because I've had no trouble previous weeks.
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder why you can't.
I have no idea.
You followed the link?
Yeah. And I even have a Microsoft account, so it's like, it shouldn't be an issue.
Well, you know what? It might have been, I might have done that to you. I'm not sure.
Oh, thanks, Barry. Thanks a lot.
Here's what happened. Usually when I create the show notes for the next week, here's a little behind the scenes of Late Night QRM. I do a control A and copy show 166's notes and paste them into the new document, and then I just delete everything, you know, all the bits and pieces, and just keep basically the outline for it.
Yeah, you are.
And this week I did that. But then I went and deleted all the stuff out of show 166. And so 167 was actually left with all the 166 show notes. So I did a routine and renamed them. So I think that may have screwed you up, because I renamed show 166 to 167. And so And you guys were still already sharing that, but I changed the name of the file. So I'm sure that had...
Okay.
So I'll be careful next time. Sorry about that. So, Michael's still gone. He hasn't caught up or joined us on the light side of the moon.
So I do have Apple Pay experience to pass on.
Go ahead. We're going into the app reviews, and this would be the time.
Wow. Without the show notes, I just happened to stumble into it. That's pretty good. Anyway, my dear bride had got pulled off her feet and dragged by our husky when we went and visited our grandchildren in New Hampshire. She was taking the dog out for a walk in the evening when we were at our hotel, and he saw a squirrel and literally took off for it and pulled her right off her feet, and she landed flat on the pavement and got dragged for a while. Ow. Before she realized that I can let go of this leash and be free. So, but one sad casualty was the iPhone 6 that she had in her coat pocket.
Oh.
It ended up with a spider web crack across the front screen.
Ouch.
So I had to wait till I had a Friday off to because this was, of course, over the Christmas holiday season. So we had to wait until I had a Friday off that I could go to the nearest Apple store, mm-hmm. which was, you know, like an yeah. hour away from us. And we went down there, and the repair was done in about an hour. They just simply clicked off the glass, put a new one in, and that was that.
Wow. Just that quick.
Well, you know, it took an hour, but still.
That's pretty good.
Still a brand new piece of glass on the front of it.
Nice.
And we didn't have to reload it or anything. It was still total. All the data was intact. Mm-hmm. So it was... The thing that I thought was the neatest was that I was able to pay for it for the first time since winning an iPhone 6. I got to pay for it with my iPhone. Pointing it to their iPhone that they used to ring it up on, and saying, "Yeah, I went flipped through my Apple Pay compatible cards," and says, mm-hmm. "Yeah, I'll take this one, and this is the key." And I put my fingerprint on it, and presto bango, it was paid for.
Nice.
And it was like really cool. And, you know, of course, you know, the salespeople are like all wiped out because, you know, there's an Apple geek getting all turned on about playing with Apple Pay for the first time, you know. So, and because it was a repair, we had to do that separately from anything else that we got. And we did get a ring protector to go around her phone to try to help her protect from having this happen again.
Right, because...
So of course, you know, we went to the Apple Pay thing a second time to pay for that.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's why I get a cover for mine, mostly because there's usually a protection around the screen. Because, let's face it, especially with the iPhone 6, there is no bevel.
I know, it's so smooth.
It's all glass across the top, and it actually kind of curves around. The glass kind of curves around to the metal. So, you know, my cover actually, you know, puts a bumper up and around the glass, because I'm afraid if I drop it, you know, I don't, at least it's got a good chance of hitting the bumpers.
That's what Tony has on hers now.
Yeah.
You know, and we saw this demonstrated because it was like totally unrelated. We were dropping the phone off, and people were asking other salespeople at the same table about different the different cases.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this one case that went around the edge, and she had put it on the phone, and she was like whipping the phone down hard on this hard wooden table that there was in the Apple store.
Yeah.
And it was like bouncing all around and stuff like that, and everybody was like gasping and things. And she's like, it's not going to have a problem. And she was like whipping it around. And
it's, that's cool.
I turned to my wife and says, you know what? You ought to get one of those.
Yeah, really. I mean, they are. Oh, and speaking of cases, and I didn't put this in the show notes, but you reminded me, Barty. I mean, this week was CES, and I didn't even put that in the show notes either because it was a big yawn fest as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the past few have been.
Yeah, but one of the things that was announced was both OtterBox and Mophie finally have battery cases for the iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus.
Okay.
Shoot that duck. We just plugged the Christmas tree in.
Oh.
It's one of those singing ornaments.
Oh, God. So, anyway, so Mophie and OtterBox have battery packs now for the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus.
That could be cool. You know what else was announced at CES?
Mm-hmm.
Sony announced a new version of the Walkman.
Oh, that's the one that's got hi-fi music, right?
Yeah. It kills me because it's over $1,000 to buy this damn thing.
Yeah.
It's got 128 gig of storage, and, you know, like you stated, it's supposed to play back super high-res music that's recorded the exact same way, supposed to sound the exact same way it was recorded in the studio.
Yeah. So audiophiles... young audiophiles that still have hearing will enjoy that.
It's supposed to be a competitor to Neil Young's Pono player that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah,
but that's, well, they are shipping some of those, but they're only like $340.
Yeah.
Now the Pono player though is not small.
No.
So I don't know how big this expensive Sony Walkman is, but the Pono player is kind of a bulky unit.
Hmm. I think it's funny that Neil Young's doing this. I would like to have somebody actually play an MP3 version of a song and, you know, one of his Pono player versions of the song and see if he can actually tell the difference, because he's, like, what, pushing 70 now? Or he's in his 70s?
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially considering the fact that he's one of the loudest live musicians out there. You know, I mean, the guy probably has to hear with a horn stuck to his ear, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I can't tell the difference. And you can tell, you know, you get this, we were talking about this a couple podcasts ago, that I think with the audio frequencies that you can play if you really want to piss off the younger generation, people like from, you know, 20 to 29 age, you can put this... play this tone on your iPhone and it'll absolutely freak them out, and anybody over 30 can't hear it. But so, you know, I just wonder about all this. You know, I think MP3s sound pretty damn good, you know. But then again, well, I'm the casual listener, you know.
Well, as somebody that has close to 400 vinyl relics from the past, I can purely attest that what little hearing I have left sounds a lot better with vinyl on the exact same stereo equipment that I play my digital music on. The vinyl does sound more vibrant, and really? It does sound louder. Whereas the digital sounds a bit more leveled, and it doesn't seem, especially with live music, it doesn't seem to have the same kind of jump to it.
Hmm.
It's not as crisp on the high end either.
Exactly.
That's funny, because I of course, it's my hearing and my... I find quite the opposite. I think, you know, like you listen to a CD and it's...
But you listen to the Beach Boys, though, right?
I listen to a lot of music, including the Beach Boys. I listen to a lot of classical music, too. But I always found that CDs, they were crisper, and the upper frequencies were more vibrant than when I used to play records. Of the same thing. Plus, you don't get the pops and the cracks.
But CDs. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but the CDs aren't MP3s, though. They're WAV files.
That's true.
So yeah. I mean, it's still digitized, but it's a much better resolution, much better dynamic range without compression.
True.
I was going to say, for classical music, the best sounding classical music I've ever heard was the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Herbert Karajan playing Beethoven symphonies.
Mm-hmm.
The sound that comes out of those albums, I've got some that I bought on CD after I had them on vinyl, and they just don't sound the same. Hmm. There's much more vibrancy in the vinyl than there is in the CDs.
Hmm.
And they're the exact same recordings.
Really? Well, I'll have to try that again sometime if I dig out my old turntable.
Of course, you know, if they had, Barty, if they had digitized those vinyl records with something better than a Go Video CD encoder, it might have sounded better. But
that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's going back a bunch of years, you know, because Herbert Karajan has been dead for a couple of decades now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just say my ears are getting old, and I know I have, you know, because I come in to watch TV, and my wife's already got the TV on, and she's sitting in the family room, and I sit down to listen to it, and the first thing I do is grab the volume or the remote and turn up the volume. She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I can't hear a freaking thing they're saying." Yeah. But,
yeah, well, there's a lot of difference with listening to the dialogue and as opposed to listening to music. Music, yeah. You need to have louder, especially if it's an orchestra, because there's so many more instruments playing.
Right.
You know, if you want to hear them, you know, where a single voice, you don't need a single voice that loud before you start thinking he's yelling at you.
Hmm. I just like my stuff loud when I can never.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a generational thing. Our whole generation like things loud.
Yeah.
That's why we can't hear crap now.
No. And as I told my wife, I was saying at work the other day, there was a couple of women I work with, and we were sitting around talking, and I don't know, I forget how we got on the thing. I said, well, a lot of times I don't hear things. I said, I know I've got some hearing loss, and I said, I know I've got hearing loss between a certain frequency range, and it just so happens that that's the same range that my wife's voice is in. And they just both went, ah.
Your husband said the same thing.
But, yeah, anyway.
We better change the subject quick before we all get in trouble.
Get in trouble. Well, my app of the week, which I actually experienced it yesterday going to work, because we did have some snow the night before, or actually we had snow squalls happening at rush hour.
Squalls.
Which caused some interesting things.
Yeah, 2 inches of snow and five cars crack up in 93.
Well, that's because they had, like, in some places they have these instances of near whiteout conditions, and of course cars immediately slam on their brakes, and the cars and behind them can't see other people slamming on their brakes, and then they slide and slam into each other, you know. And but anyway, my app is called NH Alerts, and it's for New Hampshire. And I don't know whether the same company is doing it for different states.
It goes up and beeps right before you hit somebody.
But it lists. I don't know whether that was my phone. I don't know what it was beeping about. Anyway, so it shows you a map, and it will show you where the incident occurs. And it will, if you're not on the app, it'll send you a notification, and you can set the alarm. So I've got this sound coming up. So, and it goes off, and it tells you where the emergency is, or where the whatever incident's happening is. And it's the state that actually sends out these emergency alerts. Now, on Friday, when I was driving to work in the Prii, or Prius, taking my time, it was going off left and right, and it was because of car accidents and jackknife tractor trailers on Route 3, and they were telling you exactly where they were, and everything. So it's a pretty cool app. If you happen to live in New Hampshire.
Awesome. Barry.
Huh?
You did say Prius.
Yes, I did,
Barry.
Oh, did I say Prius?
You did. You said Prius. Prius.
Sorry, I forgot.
Boy, that is annoying.
I forgot to hit the...
Is that the Barry and Joel Prius love song or something?
That's
the sound will come out. The song will come out good on the actual podcast.
Yeah, it will.
When he uploads it.
And it's also... by the way, tell your dog, watch your dogs. So anyway...
Watch your dog.
Well, when that comes on.
It just sounded funny when you said that, because I was thinking it's a good thing I'm on a headset, because it probably would have driven Thor crazy.
Yeah, let me see if I can put my alert sound here. Let's see. Test it. Here we go. Oh, that's right.
The National Weather Service has issued a warning for your area.
So they have different ones. Which one did I pick?
Michael and I would be hearing that kind of crap almost every day.
They got different ones.
You know, speaking of bad weather, we are just barely getting escaping from getting hit with heavy snows.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing what you're freaking me out, too, on the text when you said... Adam's forecast to get 5 feet of snow, and I'm like, are you talking about your son, or are you talking about a town? Because I haven't heard anything, and he lives close to
me. I never even thought about that.
He lives close to me. I'm forgetting, 5 feet of snow?
And you're at a higher elevation?
Yeah.
I caught that when you sent that tweet out. I was like, oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
It was the way you worded it, too.
The next town north of us, and we're like just a few miles away. And if people who have never experienced lake effect snow have no understanding of this, but it's literally like walking through a curtain. You go down the road about 3 or 4 miles from north of us, and you pass through a curtain that's about a mile, maybe 2 miles wide. It varies.
Uh-huh.
And you go from no snow to two inches of snow an hour.
Wow.
And that's what Adams is getting. They're getting buried. They're expected to have 5 feet this weekend. You know, and I already had a few feet Thursday, because we got some of that snow.
So,
we ended up getting a couple of feet of snow on Thursday, and then we got another half a foot on Friday, and then another half a foot again today on Saturday. But we're like just missing the full brunt of this lake effect band coming off on Lake Ontario.
Wow.
It's just missing us, and it's like burying Adams and Watertown and a little town called Lorraine, which you were amused at my reference to Uriah Heep song. But it was like it's like going off that direction at a slant, and it's just missing us. And my wife and I are like going, whew, we've already got enough snow. Our roof is like right at the max, and if we get any more snow, we're going to be up there having to shovel it off.
Yeah.
You know, we're hoping that this blows by us, and we get a warming smell, a spell that cuts the snow down again.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten quite a few feet of snow so far this year, but we've gotten warm-up spells that melted it all away.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah, this latest lake effect event, if it hit us, we would be dead.
Hmm.
We're getting too old for this crap.
So you're saying Adams is the 2015 Copper Harbor. This year.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Copper Harbor still gets more than the Tug Hill Plateau.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible, though. Yeah, I am glad it's not making its way here.
it's like sure. effect. I can't reach that far. You're lucky.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. But Yeah, I'm not looking forward to any more snow because, you know, we got about 2, maybe 3 inches on yesterday, Friday. And I didn't, you know, I got home and I saw the driveway had about 3 inches of snow. I said, I'm not snow blowing that. And then I got inside and I said, no, I'm looking at the forecast. And I said, oh, that shit's not going to melt anytime soon. It'll turn into solid ice if I just let it sit out there. So I went out and snowblowed 3 inches of snow today just to get it off the driveway because it's like, yeah, I don't need crunchy ice in a couple of days out there.
Right.
And, yeah, so, but, and then, of course, you know, I'm blowing it and it was, the winds were shifting, you know. I need to get one of those little cabin things for my
yeah, they cost a lot. They're like over $1,000.
I know, but man, I'll tell you, I'm sitting there and I'm blowing it one way and all of a sudden the wind shifts and it's light icy snow and it's 16 degrees outside and it's blowing it all over my face and everything, and so I quickly move it over. Of course, I'm spinning it around and I'm getting blasted in three different directions.
Well, and you then can pull it, a little lever and lower how high you throw it and it doesn't go up into the air, then you're caught by the wind as bad.
Yeah, I could do that. I it'll help. But the whole thing was, is the shifting winds, usually it's not a problem. You figure out which way the wind's blowing, and of course you let it blow with the wind, you know?
Exactly,
And, but it was shifting today, so I move it over to the other side, and not as soon as I moved it over to the other side, the wind started blowing the opposite direction. I was getting covered in snow again, so I'm rolling it around to the other side. And it was just... I was a snowman by the time that thing was done, and it's cold, you know. It was 16 degrees, and that snow's just coating my pants and my jacket and my face and my glasses. Yeah. It was
socks.
Yeah, it does. It really
exactly.
does.
Joe had it just right. Socks.
Socks. There's nothing you can do aside from not do that.
Yeah. But needless to say, yeah, I did it and it's done now, so it's good for a while. Pretty much driving the Prius up one side of the driveway. I'm not going up the hill anymore because that's turned into a sheet of ice. And you know, I already experienced a little on Friday, the nightmare of Temple Mountain, which supposedly I missed because I went in late. I missed. There was a jackknife tractor trailer on Temple Mountain there, earlier in the morning, and I didn't hear about it. And I went in, everything was cleared up when I went over Temple Mountain, although I was white knuckling it all across Temple Mountain because it was the road crews were not getting out and doing the stuff because there were squaws and they were waiting until they were done before they went out. So, you know, there was like 2 or 3 inches of stuff on the road. And
we like to call that shit.
Yeah. And when you're going down a steep grade and there's a 90 degree turn at the end of it, that's what I call white knuckling it. I try to stay in the center of the road, so but you can't do that when there's traffic coming up the other way. That has made me decide. By the way, we're moving into bottom gear now.
And welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and today we've got several of our automotive woes and stories to tell. Barry, take it away.
Okay, well, I'll continue my story. So I have decided after doing the up Temple Mountain and white knuckling it down the other side in my...
How was that again?
And
there's tonight's ringer.
Right. In my beautiful Prius. Anyway, I've decided, and I was already looking, and my wife even thinks it's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. I think studded snow tires are...
Oh, my God!
The Prius. I was up on... And I have some questions for you, Joel, because I did find two places that were the cheapest. In the New England area, there's Town Fair Tires.
Yes.
Which is where I got the last tires for the Prius, and I'm looking there. But I found them a little cheaper on Tire Rack, I think.
TireRack.com.
Right, which is basically a mail order place, or, you know, online place now.
Yep.
And you buy them there, and then they ship them to wherever you want them to go.
They ship them to authorized installers.
Oh,
now,
okay.
That being said...
Yes.
If you look on the late night QRM page, mm-hmm. oh, I don't know, say now, you will see a photograph that I just put up on there, 15 minutes ago when we were in the show?
Mm-hmm.
And let me know when you got it open.
I'm going there now. Hang on. I'm going on my phone.
You can follow along, boys and girls.
I got a picture of a stove on a piece of plywood across two sleds. That's not
the latest post today at 8:46 p.m.
Let's see. You put it on Late Night QRM?
Yep.
Not the other one.
Late Night QRM page.
I'm not getting anything. The last step.
Then you're not doing it right.
The last step. Date I've got on there is when I posted Late Night QRM Show 166.
Interesting.
Did you put it on the other one?
QRM. Have you tried closing the page and reloading it again?
Exactly.
I just did. I opened it up fresh.
Really?
Yeah.
Opened it up fresh. April fresh?
April fresh.
Hmm. Well.
It's not showing me that. Let me try. I'm going to kill
minty
it's
fresh.
Funny because I just opened it on my iPhone and it's the very top one.
Okay, well, killed the process and I'm reloading Google Plus now. I turned it off and I'm turning it back on. There it is!
Yes.
Okay.
So what do you see in that photo?
I see a lift and I see.
Goldfinger.
Hang on!
Goldfinger!
I told you that was coming.
There you go. And that is Goldfinger on the lift today mm-hmm. at Pep Boys, an authorized tire rack tire installer,
mm-hmm.
getting its studded snow tires put on it today.
Okay.
So, to answer your question, if you buy something from Tire Rack, now right. bear in mind you're going to have to pay shipping.
Right. I know. And I saw the shipping, and it was like 50 some bucks for shipping.
Whoa.
It might be worth it just to give Manny, Moe, and Jack a call.
Okay.
And tell them what make, model, and year, or go by tire size. Because like, I put studded snow tires on Goldfinger.
Beauty.
Okay.
Yes, one size smaller than the actual regular running tire.
Mm.
And the reason being is I wanted a narrower tire, which will push down through the snow and ice better than a wider tire.
Okay.
And these are studded and they're all snow tires. So I always go a more narrow tire for the winter.
Okay.
But what will happen is when you call them, I mean, 9 out of 10 times. Actually, I looked it up for your car once before. But what I did is I said, hey, what do you have? It's on clearance or last year's model that, you know, you're no longer going to sell that's brand new.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up getting them for my wife's car.
Mm-hmm.
I got them on Wilson, mm-hmm. and I got studded snow tires now on Goldfinger. So all our cars have studded snow tires on them.
Yeah. Well,
how
much do they charge to mount them?
If you already have, let me word it to you this way. If without the purchase price of, say, the tires. Let's say you have
right.
four studded snow tires.
Okay.
To put them on in the winter, if you buy them from them.
Yeah.
Let's see, what was it? It was $12 to stud. Well, let me rephrase that. I bought four studded snow tires for Wilson. It was $12 a tire to have them studded.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain balance, I think, was $48.
Okay.
And so they mounted and balanced them, right. So it was $50 okay. plus $12 per tire to have it studded. But in the springtime, when you go to have those tires taken off the rims and put your all-season radials on, it costs nothing.
See, that's where I'm trying to add all this up if I get them from Tire Rack, because they were definitely cheaper buying them from Tire Rack. But then when you add the $50 shipping, and then you add the $50 to get them mounted at Pep Boys,
mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
coming up to the same price as Town
Home same price.
Tires.
Right.
And Town Home Tires will do the same deal with me, where especially since I've got both, I would get both set of tires from them, they'll do
yep.
free remounts for me.
Free mount and balance, which realistically yeah. that's the way to go. The Tire Rack, I find, is a real good option
mm-hmm.
if you're buying studded snow tires that are mounted and balanced on rims already. In other words, the rim, the tire, yeah. the studs, and the wheel weights.
Right.
If you're buying right. a complete package, Tire Rack is excellent. You'll save money.
Okay.
And that's what they do up here.
Right.
We don't have any authorized installers, but they will sell you the tire already on a rim.
Right. And it's
mounted and balanced.
All you gotta do is jack it up, take your tire and rim off, put that one on, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And Tire Rack will save you big money that way, because it's a new rim, it's balanced, it's nothing, you know,
right.
it's a real good deal.
Yeah.
Even including the shipping with steel wheels.
Yeah.
But if you have places that'll stud tires and mount them on the rims for you, 9 out of 10 times, it's always, always, always cheaper. Either go to Town Fair Tire.
Yeah.
Pep Boys VIP, which is now
yeah.
O'Reilly.
All right. Yeah. O'Reilly.
Or an NTW.
So okay.
It's NTB. And it's no longer NTW. So oh. National Tire and Battery.
Ah, okay. Well,
so it's worth going around. But I always found Town Fair Tire to have the best prices.
They were a little bit more expensive than Tire Rack. But you know, like I said, when you add up the other stuff, it's
when you add up shipping, mounting, balancing, and all that other stuff, it's
right.
probably going to work out to be exactly the same.
Yeah.
Or if not, a little bit more with Tire Rack.
Plus convenience, because there's a Town Fair Tire right around the corner from where I work. And,
exactly.
You know,
so that's. I would highly recommend you go there or okay. run down Amherst Street after yeah. work and give Pep Boys a call. I've had. I go there because they give me the best prices every time.
Really? I'll check them out. I got my first the set of tires I've got on now, which I like. There, but mm-hmm. you know, I saw, you know, Joel, you've been preaching snow tires, and then there was another article that came up, and I was reading that, and they basically said exactly the same thing you've been saying, and I've been hemming and hawing about it, but yeah, it's really Temple Mountain that's making me do it, because, you know, I hate white knuckling it up
yeah.
down that mountain, and you know, everything else in the commute is, you know, you just go slow and steady, and you'll get there, but That mountain is just like, yeah, you don't want to be on there when the roads are slick.
My biggest point of contention is the slow and steady mentality works, kind of, if you want to drive around with what I call winter blinders on. Because everybody else is thinking the same thing you are. Oh, if I just take it nice and easy, my all-season radials, which aren't rated for the extreme cold temperatures or designed to bite snow, by the way.
Yeah.
Will get me just where I want to go, right up until the first time you have to make an evasive move to avoid getting in an accident.
Right.
You have no traction
right. yep.
in the snow, or especially on the ice,
because yeah.
everybody's trying to take it slow and easy, and they're just doing those nice slow and easy pirouettes when they slide into the front end of your fucking car.
Yeah, exactly.
And had you had studded snow tires on you, you could have matted the friggin' gas and got out of the way, or
yeah.
you know, quickly hit the brakes and stopped as they slid
yeah.
past you.
Yeah.
Because you have traction.
Yep. So I'm looking at it. It's kind of close, damn near the same price as the new tires I got this year. But I gotta look at it like this too, you know. About 6 months on the snow tires, and about 6 months on the all weather radios. Tires. Yeah. It's going to wear. They're going to. It's going to even out.
Yeah. Well, your radios will last longer.
You're right.
Now, if I don't want to throw this one out there because I posted on our, like I said, on our page and I paid tipped my the brim of my hat here, so to speak, to Doug. From Sluggish Doug, Doug Slater, because he had the picture of his Mini up on the lift getting snow tires put on it back in December, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, I got the wife's car done because I worry about, you know, taking care of your loved ones. Yeah. I got Wilson done because my daughter's driving that. But my car, like every other usually husband slash father in the world, I'm like, I'll make mine last. I'll wait.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine came up to me at work, mm-hmm. who we had the same discussion. He said, he goes, those set of snow tires you had on your red Oldsmobile on Wilson. He goes, would you get those again? I says, I won't drive without them. And he said, well, my brother just got in a car accident, and he was thinking about getting them, and he put it off. And the amount of dough it's going to cost him, because he just rear-ended, he slid right into the ass end of a Mercedes.
Wow.
And he said, so his insurance premiums are going to go through the roof.
Yep.
And for the price of about 400, and, call it 400 bucks, maybe 450 bucks for a good set of tires designed for snow, it's now going to cost him upwards of, what, $5,000 over the next 5 years?
Yeah, yeah.
And insurance premiums plus the payment. So which one is really cheaper?
Yep. No, I agree. I agree now. And since you've given studded snow tires a rave review, I'm going with the studded instead of just the straight snow tires.
You know, you hear the click, 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 click. Yeah. People are like, oh, it's so noisy. How can you stand the noise on dry pavement? And you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like a sure-footed friggin' vehicle.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the best.
What's dry pavement?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, really.
And the funny thing is I looked out the window. I remember this distinctively. I was at work last winter, and it was snowing to beat the band. Now, everybody says, well, if it's snowing that bad, I'll just take the day off of work, and I won't go. Well, one, I don't want to have to use a vacation, a PTO day, for a lousy snowstorm for 6 inches of snow. And, B, what happens when it starts to snow after you've already got to work? And now you look out the window or you go out the front lobby and you look past the receptionist desk and you go, holy shit, there's 8 inches of snow and it's coming down hard.
Mm-hmm.
You think that means my commute is going to suck. Yeah. And then you start thinking of every hill that you get stuck on that has either a stop sign or a red light at.
I know them all.
You're going sitting on this 45-degree incline.
Yeah.
So when I had the snow tires on my car, I look out the window, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I have no worries about slipping and sliding anymore. None.
Yeah.
It's like when I had my four-wheel drive truck. Actually, it's better than my four-wheel drive truck because I can actually friggin' stop.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike a four-wheel drive truck, which will just plows and slides forward.
Yeah.
They're great for doing the go, but they're now the best thing. I drove my buddy's Dodge. And he's got four studded snow tires that are 33 inches tall on his Dodge pickup. Studded snow tires on a four-wheel drive truck. That thing was an effing tank.
Yeah.
It would stop, turn, go.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
The only thing I think it would be better would be a Jeep with studded snow tires on it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think that's going to probably happen this week. Because there's been a couple times where it snowed while I was at work, and it was a slow going commute home.
Well, like you said, not only slow. Slow wouldn't be bad, and you could stomach that. Mm-hmm. It's when the grip on the steering wheel is so tight that there's no blood circulating through your fingers.
Yeah.
That's the part that bothers me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And that happens every time Temple Mountain is there in front of me.
Every time Barry brings up Temple Mountain, I get visions of Dennis Weaver in a semi following him.
Duel?
Yes.
That was a Steven Spielberg movie, one of his first made-for-television movie of the week. And it was specifically, we studied that in the film class I took because he said he specifically, the way the cinematography and the angles and every shot he chose it and made it for the small screen. And I'm talking about the standard screen back when that came out, 70s, early 70s, I think. that was. But yeah, that was a piece of that was a that is a movie that's it would still fly today, I think, you know.
Yep. So I see Barry in the Prius going voo voo.
And I'm like,
Dennis Weaver in the summer going.
I'd probably appreciate the help.
I can attest to the terrors of Temple Mountain, because there was one time when my wife and I were living in Nausea, also known as Nashua, that we could not get home because we had a rear-wheel drive Mustang that would not get up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what we did, there was no way we'd get it to go up. The only thing we could do was go back down and just stay in Peterborough for the night and finish the trip the next morning.
Wow, yeah.
The company covered it.
Wow.
Rear-wheel drive car especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In New England, you know, anywhere pretty much north of Georgia. So there you go.
So, yep. So it looks like that's going to happen probably this week. And,
very cool.
I already kind of looked at it online, but I'm just going to go into Town Fair Tires because sometimes they have deals in there that, you know.
So just out of curiosity, why did you wait till you were halfway through winter to do this?
Because I was just, you know, hemming
and hawing about the money.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's
the same reason I was.
It's gonna
the same reason why I made my car the last car in my family to get done.
Yeah, it's gonna cost me. Yeah, it's gonna be 400 on the plus side of 400 to do it.
Yeah,
and but you know, I'm gonna pay attention to Massachusetts laws because I live so close to Massachusetts.
You're so fine. Massachusetts, you have to have them off by the end of April.
Yeah, because they had a list on Town Fair Tires of all the state laws, and Vermont and New Hampshire, you can drive them all year long if you want.
Year round of studded snow tires.
Yeah, they have no laws about studded snow tires. But we live so close to Massachusetts that I'm going to just take them off.
Yeah, I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure when you look at the removal date for studs in the UP on the chart, it says Y.
That's good.
You've got winter mud season.
Yeah.
That usually works good with snow tires. And you got about 3 days of dry hot, and then you're right back in the mud season.
It gives you an option. July, maybe August. You know?
Play it by ear.
Really? So, well, that was my bottom gear thing. So, Michael, hey, you know what? We don't have a song for the Jeep. We got to come up with one for the. Well, I'm assuming that's the Jeep. I don't know. Actually,
no. It's the Family Truckster.
The what?
The Family Truckster. Yeah, there's plenty of things going on with the Jeeps, but nothing new there. But with Family Truckster, yes, there is. With everything else going on this week, you know, the reincarnation of iPhones and everything, I went down to the garage Thursday to... Well, why did I take the truck originally? I think I had something to unload or getting ready to load something. And... another thing we don't have working at all this season yet is any snow removal on our own driveway, which is causing some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this time it caused an issue because I pulled out of the garage, and normally I would have, you know, under inclement conditions like we've had this week, I'd pull out to the road, go down the road, come in the other driveway, you know, make the bigger loop. Mm-hmm. But normally I can make the swing from the garage, make that tight turn with the Family Truckster and go on up the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm coming out of the garage. I head towards the main driveway. I make the turn, and the truck slides sideways off the driveway into the trees.
Oh.
Neatly taking off most of the driver's mirror.
Oh,
nice.
I mean... in many, many pieces, taking it off. So the rest of the truck's okay. Didn't dent any panels or anything. But the driver's mirror is toast. Assembly, everything. And I'm like, oh, crap. And of course, I'm off the driveway in the ditch now.
Mm-hmm.
That was remedied by putting it in reverse, turning the wheel once, and the truck just backed itself right out of it. Mm-hmm. So that's at least we've got good four-wheel drive vehicles to go up and down the unplowed driveway. Yeah. And although the Jeep is getting more and more two-wheel drive than four-wheel drive these days. I'm really going to have to, but that's my vehicle, and as Joel has already said, that's the last thing getting fixed. It's you know, it still goes. it's 2.5-wheel drive, right? It's on demand. The Jeep knows when it's got to go that extra oomph, and it pulls itself out.
I got to find a bumper for the Jeep, and literally not. I got to find a bumper for the Jeep, and not a Jeep bumper.
Yeah. Yeah. I've already replaced that. That's the heavy duty bumper on the front. But, you know, I get up to the house and I'm just like, oh, crap, something else going wrong this week. And I walked in and I apologized to Chris. I said, yeah, I just annihilated the driver's mirror in your truck, which is, well, first of all, it's by law you got to have one. But it's really a pain not to have one on a truck with a cap where you can't see what's coming up on the others without opening the window and poking your head out in the 40-mile-an-hour minus 30 wind. So she had some chores to run. I needed to pick the kids, and I had that was Thursday. So I had firefighter class and firefighter two now, which is officer's training. And so before I headed out, I thought, well, let's go online and sorry.
I said congratulations.
No. Well, I haven't passed yet, but
you will. You know you will.
Anyhow, so. I get online and start searching around, and I actually do have an extensive history in automotive mirrors, not to mention like 9 patents in them. So I knew exactly what I was getting into, and I knew that the Dodge version of this mirror was going to be between $250 and $400 for the assembly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you go with an OEM part, it's $250 to $300 for a mirror assembly for a heated, motorized. Yep. You know, the sail, assembly, everything. And I looked at the original Dodge parts, and sure enough, that's what they were. And then I looked at Coolview is like one of the major aftermarket manufacturers of automotive mirrors. And again, I'm very familiar with them because I actually used to be in their booth when they were selling at the car shows in Las Vegas. And their mirrors are going for like $100 to $200 to replace the original Dodge mirror.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And then I got on Amazon and I said, oh, screw it. I'm just for the heck of it, I'm going to type in, you know, 2004 Dodge 2500 diesel truck. And I'll pop this exact, at least visually exact, replacement mirror for my wife's truck. $38 plus shipping.
Yep.
And I looked at it, and it's the sail, it's the motor puck, it's the glass. It's the defroster, everything.
Everything?
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 Everything? Everything? Michael, don't leave us hanging, please.
Always happens.
Oh.
Michael has gone off into a wormhole or faded out into a different dimension.
Did it? I hung up?
Yes.
Yeah, you disappeared there.
Had everything. That's where it ended. Michael?
Michael?
Oh, crap. This is just getting good.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Always happens, man. I tell you, we really need to convince Michael he needs to move into our dimension. We do. This multi-dimensional podcast that we're doing.
It's uncanny. It's only when he's...
And then the bartender said, 2 squids, please. I don't get it, guys.
Oh, God.
So, where did I drop off?
Everything?
Everything?
That's right, everything.
Oh, yeah, so I get on Amazon and I find... an exact replacement mirror as far as size, shape, color for $38 plus shipping for the mirror, the sail, the motor. Everything's all set to go with just a pigtail to plug into the door and replace the original.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not. It may be the exact same quality. It may be a piece of crap, but it will fill the legal requirements of having a mirror on the door. Yeah. And if I if I'm not happy with the $38 investment, then I've got time to find a proper replacement.
Right.
I'm looking at one right now on eBay for $72.
I'm sorry. Yes, and my beautiful bride required, as she says, she requires a left mirror.
Really?
Yes.
When I gave it to you, we'll get the mirror, left mirror. When I get it back, I want it to have a left mirror.
Yeah, exactly. But being somebody who used to be in the industry, I can call somebody up. If this isn't good, I can get an OEM replacement for probably consideration. But I just need time to get that to happen. So.
Right. Hmm. Well, I was going to say, we've got connections, but if and in fact you found yourself up against a wall, let me, don't hesitate to call. I have many, many, many connections down here locally. I mean, I've got literally 11 junkyards right around me, and all of them have got cracked up brand new Dodges in them. You're a year making model with good mirrors on them, and I can get a mirror for probably short money and ship it to you.
And these particular mirrors were used for like 6 or 7 years over the years on these.
Right.
So I mean, it's the standard mirror.
Yep. Yeah. My brother's.
So I'll let you know.
My brother's 2002 Dodge dually diesel crew cab needed an entire passenger side door. My dad rolled the truck.
Right.
And I bought the complete door, exterior, interior panel, mirror, power window motor, the works, from a buddy of mine in the boneyard for $100. Put it in the bed of a pickup truck and drove it down.
Cool.
Yeah, I can get parts real cheap.
Right.
So sorry to break up the story, but hearing the one about the bartender saying that.
Please. I want to jump in on your bandwagon. And actually, speaking of door mirrors, I've replaced two on my wife's car on the passenger side. And one day again, snowy and. She was coming home from work, and she really needed to use the bathroom and kind of misjudged where my Chevy pickup truck was and took the door mirror off by hitting my truck. Pulled into the driveway.
Well, she for her size, she is British, and she learned how to drive on the other side of the road.
So. Well, it's funny because I'm in the house, and she comes out. She comes starting to the house. I'm like, oh, bathroom. That's normal. We've all done that. And she comes out. She says, oh, by the way, I hit your truck. I'm like, what? And, oh, yeah, I think I need a new door mirror on the passenger side of my car. And I'm like, oh, all righty. So that was the first one. And he thought that was all said and done. And then again, the second one was my fault. And I didn't even do it while sitting behind the wheel. I took it off with my snowblower. I was trying to go between my truck and in her car with the snowblower, you know, and you got the handles. And it's kind of the driveway's a little uneven there. And the snowblower's going forward. I was cutting that path initially so I could get to both sides of the car and clean it off, then climb in it, move it, and then snowblow. And the snowblower slid, and the handle on the right-hand side, snap, broke the friggin', hit the mirror and snapped it off. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I just put that on in spring. So there's number two.
Wow.
It's all better now.
Oh. There was another reason why I need to get studded snow tires on the Prius too. I do have to admit that when I pull off to the sides of the road these days to hit a portal, sometimes it's tough to get back on the road.
Portal.
Which takes us into
acquiring position, downloading latest intel package.
Here's where you fast forward.
Yep, fast forward now.
Probably about a minute or two, because there's not much to report this week. Other than
the sensors are cold, literally.
Yes, literally. And I haven't done a lot because it's and I've noticed a lot of other people aren't going out and doing stuff because it's just too damn cold out. Yeah.
But well, the weather in most places has been pretty shitty.
Yeah.
You know, Michael and I have been fighting feet of snow falling. And, you know, when there's feet of snow everywhere, you don't want to really go rolling around much.
Yeah.
You know,
you just want to go from point A to point B with no stops in between.
And, unexpected stops in between.
Right.
You know.
So, but you know, I still have the thing up to hack on the way because I'm always trying to, you know, raise my inventory. And I got to say, and I don't know whether, Michael, maybe you can, and I don't know whether this is an iOS thing with the scanner or not, or whether it's just in my area, but I am getting really tired of seeing fields and links and no portals. They just don't show up on my map, which means you can't hack them if they don't show up. Or they'll show up right after you pass them on the map, which doesn't help you either. And the other thing is there's been many times when I hit a portal and I get no items hacked or no items, whatever.
Hack requires no items, yes.
Yeah, hack requires, yeah, no
I,
items.
I have,
a lot of times it's going on now. And of course, I blow past because I'm doing a drive-by hack. If I could sit there, sometimes I've sat at a couple and, you know, I get the hack requires no items a couple times. And then on the third try, it'll give me something. So I'm having an idea that I don't know whether it's just an iOS problem or whether it's happening on the Androids also, phones also, but I think the servers aren't keeping up with the traffic.
I think a couple of things. It happens on my iOS more than it does because, you know, Mark is playing on the Nexus right next to me
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, and we'll both see it,
yeah.
But it'll be worse on my phone, and I think it's part of their anti-driving stuff. So if you sit there, it'll sync, or if you sit there and shut the task down and then restart.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Ingress, then it works.
I do that a lot to actually get the portals to show up on the map.
Right, or even to get it to hack. You can like at the snow thermometer, you could sit there and hack all day if you come from the Mohawk Post Office, and it just keeps coming up with hack requires no items.
Mm.
But if you shut the app down completely and restart it,
yeah.
The next time you hack it, you get inventory.
That's why I'm thinking it's either something wrong with the iOS scanner or it's they're having issues connecting to the servers now through the network.
I think it's server because it happens on the Nexus as well.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good information to know.
It's worse on the iOS. And the latest version, sorry, Bob, if you've rejoined us, Bob, go ahead and fast
forward. We're gone longer than a minute.
The other thing with the latest version of Ingress is when it comes up to do the notifications,
yeah,
you know, that tell you that you've got portals under attack, it doesn't completely mute, but it attenuates whatever you're listening
yes.
to.
Yeah.
But it doesn't unattenuate it when it's done.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed that too. If you're sitting there also trying to recharge during an attack, the recharging is lagging way behind the actual attack. And
yeah.
It's almost useless. And then I was thinking maybe it was when I was switching cells that it wasn't making that connection or it wasn't connecting to the server right away on the new cell pass off.
That's when it's happening to me. When I go from one cell to the next.
Yeah.
Is when I am noticing it.
Yeah, because I end up dropping the game and restarting it. And then when you restart it, everything works again. But it's very frustrating, especially for hacking, you know, which is pretty much all I'm doing these days. Just doing my usual drive-by and hacks, and it pisses me off, and I'm cussing and everything, because it's like, should have gotten something there.
How was that again?
I was doing my impression
yeah, do it again.
Of Dad on the Christmas
party's
story.
Getting ready for another ringtone.
Oh.
So.
Did you get it, Joel?
As a matter of fact, I did. It's all recorded now.
Otherwise, this recorded off the next release of the show.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be there. okay. Well, that ends our Ingress moment. You can rejoin us now. And speaking of the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour guys, I got to tell you that I've I have successfully completed your course, the the 5K to Couch course.
Well, congratulations, Barry.
I've actually, and I moved on to the next step in that, which is Couch to Couch.
Couch to Couch.
That sounds like one I could handle.
So, yes, I'm staring at a stationary recumbent bike that's up here in the studio, which has gone unused. I need to start coming up and at least doing that, because I had a doctor's appointment this past week, and all the weight I lost last year running, I gained back plus.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was lost. Now you found it.
I did. I found all that weight.
And some of its friends.
Yeah.
And it brought friends.
And I got interest. Compounded interest.
Compound interest. Better than a savings account.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for running season to come back. And I do call it up here running season, because what I found is, well, it's dark when I used to run now. Well, it's pretty much dark all the time here now. And and the roads are too slippery and too snowy. So you really don't want to, you know, run on those. And on the weekends, I could run, but I'm too busy doing all the other stuff I can't do during the week because it's too damn dark outside. So by the time I get that done, the weekend's gone. So... yeah, I'm using excuses, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? I think you hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
That sounds rather well put.
So, I do have to get on the bike.
You're lucky that you've got more than one road. I mean, all we have here is the one road that goes by the house. That's it. We only have the one road. And in the wintertime, we don't even have that because the road ends at our house.
What do you?
Because I don't plow the rest of it.
You live in Canada?
Close. I can see it from where I live.
Oh, jeez. So, okay. Well, I guess now it's time to move into Entertainment Last Month. I gotta fix the ending of that one.
And everybody goes quiet. We had to entertain it.
Well, I do have one. I saw the commercials for it. I scheduled it into my DVR, and last Sunday night I decided I'm gonna watch it live. So I tuned into ABC to watch this new show, limited show. You know, it's like a mini series almost. It's called Gallivant. And because the commercials kind of look good, but the commercial showed the best parts of it.
That was it for the whole series. Huh?
It wasn't. It's got its funny parts, but who'd we lose?
Uh-oh, I don't know.
Michael.
We lost Michael. How did we lose Michael in his own house?
I don't know. It sounded like you're going to a man cave.
I got to be running myself. It's getting kind of late for me.
Okay, well, you don't want to listen to my Gallivant. Well, you heard my Gallivant review.
Yeah.
It kind of sucked.
It was more anticipation than anything.
Yeah. It's got its funny spots here and there. But
it sounded exciting. The commercials were good, but what you saw was the only good parts.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be gallivanting tomorrow. Or not. I may let the DVR collect them, and I'll watch them later on. I'm not looking forward to watching it. I really thought it was going to be kind of Monty Python-ish, but it wasn't. It was far from it. It was more like the Princess, or the, what's it called? The Princess Bride? No, the
Princess Diaries?
Whatever, you know, that one. But that wasn't even a musical. It's a musical.
The Divas of Pop Music?
It's a musical.
Other such discouraging topics?
Yeah, it pretty much sucked. It did.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to hear more of this on this ringing endorsement because...
Yeah, well, okay, you've heard it, Barty, so you can go take drugs now.
I already took drugs. That was at 8
o'clock. Oh, okay.
Oh, my.
But, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, really. It's, all right, let's put it this way.
It's an excellent movie for the blind.
Hey, is that a blind joke?
Reminds me of an old Faces album, you know. A wink is as good as a nod to a blind horse.
I'll be looking.
I couldn't unmute fast enough. I was about to say Dr. Dave resents that.
That's why I said it. And I was going to say, I look forward to seeing the review of it 20 years from now on the best episode ever.
Yeah, there you go.
when they
April edition.
Yeah, when they review when they review these shows.
Yeah, right next to May's Flowers.
And a very special episode of Blossom.
Weren't they all special? In their own painful way.
So, okay, that's it. And anybody got any other entertainment news? Yes, no.
No.
Okay. That's it. I think we're about done for the podcast. So, Barty, if you can hang on for a couple more minutes, we're going to say our goodbyes. I think that's it. And again, to the military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being out there. And you guys, especially the OCONUS guys, we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. Stay safe, because it's getting kind of crazy out there and again. And you guys are targets. So with that, we do have a musical guest, continuing on the songs from commercials theme. You guys will recognize this one because it's behind 1,000 different commercials out there. This is Capital Cities. Tonight's musical guest is Capital Cities and their song Safe and Sound. So with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from 2 miles away from... knee-deep in burying snow, this is Barty.
And from the virtual Uper house that's bigger on the inside than it looks like on the outside. And if I seem like I'm on top of my game tonight, because the last sleep I had was Thursday night, it's Michael, the virtual Uper.
All right, people, that'll do it for show 167. 168 next week! Until then,
woo-hoo.
Here's Capital Cities.
You wanna be? You could be my luck. Even if
Samson, speak. Good boy.